180 degrees.
Hey, good morning, local 304 and podcast audience. Listen, I'm going to attempt to explain my reason for posting to the nation the acts of local president of National Postal Mail Handlers Union, Local 304, which covers Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky, a.k.a. IOK. Listen, folks, when I came into knowledge that the local president, without even consulting with the members in Ohio, in Columbus, decided to allow management to go over our casual cap by 40. Not a total of 40. We're at the cap now, and we're going to add 40 additional. I thought that's news that the local membership should know. Now, naturally, I don't like the news, but I put it out to you, and then you decide. Of course, because it's on my podcast, I give it my slant. But if you, as a dues-paying member, are okay with the fact that a local president came into an office without consulting with the members and agreed to increase the non-career complement by 40, if you're okay with that, then you're okay with that. But I want to represent the mail handlers that's not okay with that. Those are the mail handlers' voice right now I'm concerned with, and that's the voice I'm addressing. Now, I want you to understand that if I'm looking at this from the agency side, that is a marvelous deal they just brokered. Why? Because you're going to allow the agency to bring 40 employees on that are not career, and it is going to have a direct and immediate impact on the salaries earned by postal employees. And by salaries, I mean the overtime. Now, you know, let's address the elephant in the room. Overtime is necessary for a lot of employees, and I don't say that we should be of the mindset that is guaranteed, but if you understand postal operations, overtime is built into their budget. So the agency understands overtime. But with 40 employees coming on rolls, you're going to see an immediate drastic reduction in overtime as we now know it. Now, I don't fault the agency for attempts at being more efficient. I fault the union, our local, for allowing that to happen without a knockdown, drag-out fight. Now, it may be one of those decisions, unbeknownst to me, that we can't stop the agency from doing. But I'd rather fight you, legitimately fight you, naturally, I mean, through court and litigation, than just allow you to do that to my members. Because if I allow you to do that, then I'm showing no respect for my members. Also, this is not the first time that the tandem pair of your local president and the new acting plant manager of Columbus, Ohio, has brokered a deal such as this when it pertains to mail handlers and going over complement. And I say to you again, if you doubt what I'm saying, then speak to mail handlers in the Youngstown office or speak to mail handlers in the Columbus office. Once those 40 casual, and if you speak to them today, naturally, it's just, I guess it's the end thing to kind of go against Ken Hodge, and that's okay. But speak to them once those 40 people come on board, and I guarantee the song is going to be a whole lot different. See, I'm trying to prepare us for what's coming. To the band of individuals, and it's quite a big number, that support my candidacy for local president of National Postal Mail Handlers Union 304 as I run under the banner of 180 Degrees New Direction, I thank you for your support, and I encourage you to continue supporting me. I'm going to address provocative issues. I think that there is nothing too sacred that affects the quality of work life for mail handlers that the union can control or should control, but don't control properly, in my view, then I'm going to bring that to the members. And as I said to you in the beginning, if you think that that's okay, that's a power move or a good move on the part of our local president, then you should support that. But if you're like what me and the other mill handlers in Columbus, Ohio, I don't think that any of us, well, I speak for myself right now, and in the consensus that I got on the work floor, nobody's happy with that move. And just to make it worse, if you're going to agree to such a drastic or dramatic increase in non-career personnel, would it have been so wrong or so beneath you to at least take the time and address that with the dues-paying membership in Columbus, Ohio? Again, members, I present this to you for you to look at and for you to decide, was it a good move or a bad move? Was it handled properly? Was it handled professionally? And then you have to stop and think, is this the person I want leading the union come January 1st? You see, we belong to a union for a specific reason, and that is we want to be covered under quality bargaining power. Do you pay your union dues to have your union assist in a reduction in your take-home pay? And if you do, then I say to you again, that should be the candidate that you jump behind, that you rally behind, and you give that candidate 100% of your support. But if you're like me and 2,499 other mail handlers in Local 304, that's not the leadership you want. Hey, folks, get involved and understand we can do better, we can be better, but we have to get active and we have to vote out current leadership and bring in new leadership, 180 degrees, new direction, the voice of the mail handler, so we can kind of set this ship back on a course of success for mail handlers in Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky. Now, it has come to my attention that the plant manager had a luncheon with some employees on Friday, and he also stated that they're going to have 40 additional casuals, but it shouldn't affect the overtime list being maxed out. Well, I'm going to simply sit back and watch that, because I can assure you that's not what's going to happen. If they're bringing 40 casuals in on TMS, what overtime lists are being maxed out? Just TMS? Because you got 40 people. Now, if they bring the 40 people in and only work them in TMS, then I could kind of see just TMS being the unit that stays maxed out. But you and I both know that we don't have those kind of managers in Columbus. They don't understand that. Those casuals are going to be used wherever they see fit to use them. Let me give you a little bit of postal management 101. And I'm sure everybody knows I'm qualified to speak on this. Here's a couple of things to consider, folks. Terry Morrow is like the post office fix-it man. He's the plant manager now. Apparently, he travels around fixing plants. Based on his assessment, he does an outstanding job. Based on me looking at the records, But what I want you to know is this. If I bring 40 casuals in for TMS, where do you think there's going to be overtime in TMS at? So now you're going to violate my contract because you made that nonsense deal bringing 40 casuals in, or are you now going to take TMS out of their section and send them somewhere else? Violation. Our overtime is by sections. All I'm trying to get you to do, folks, is think about what it is that's going on in your work environment. You got to think about it, folks, because if you think that the fix-it man is going to come here, bring 40 additional employees on, and still max out the overtime list, let me help you, to the district, that makes him look inefficient. And if he was inefficient, they would not send him around the country fixing plants. Open up your eyes, folks, and let's just see what's going on around us. Now, what plant manager Morrow has done is he has identified the weak link in 304's armor. And I'm sorry to tell you, that weak link is the local president. Hey, one last closing note, just to kind of further let you know that my interest is the craft. Let's say we bring 40 casuals on, and right now the understanding is they're coming on for TMS. Do you realize that if I take 40 casuals and split them between three tours, that's 13 people, 13.3.4 casuals per tour. When have you ever seen us work TMS currently with 13 people on it? So if I have 13 people now assigned to TMS, let's be real clear about this. Where do you think the overtime for the maxed out list is going to come from? What's going to happen is you're going to force your union to file grievances, and there's going to be no grievance, because unless those casuals go over 40 or the MHAs go over 40, there is no grievance once the agreement is made. Now, all I'll say to you is this. You heard the plant manager's words, said there'll be no reduction in overtime. In a month, we'll check back after those folks get here, because I'm telling you, if you think that the plant manager is going to make overtime, I don't see him being that type of manager. So all I'm saying to you folks is these things happen, I think it's wrong. I think as a union, we should have said no. And again, if the national overrode us, then that's what that is. But to my local, I'm letting them know directly that my concern is you. That's not what we have here, folks. And I want you to understand that. And to the supporters of BIP who like to send me these comments on Facebook talking about my past and whatever, you can't match my past. I bring to you an issue about a local president going over the compliment, and you tell me about my past. So that lets me know that you don't care what's going on. All you know is you like BIP. And let me tell you something. If that's what it is, have at it. Enjoy it. It doesn't matter to me like that. But what I do want you to understand is people do a lot of things in life out of habit. Like you have a habit that because he was your branch president that you have loyalty to him, and so be it. But please don't allow yourself to be fooled thinking he is more capable than I. You constantly tell me I'm a manager. Well, all that managerial experience, I've learned a lot from it, and I can take it and help grow our union. So my point to those supporters are, people do a lot of things in life that they have no real reason why they do it. They have just become comfortable doing it. And I'm going to close out this series or this topic for right now with what I would have done if I was your active branch president. First thing I would have did was I would have met with my stewards and asked them to canvass the members, because here's a proposal that I would have presented to management. I understand overtime in Columbus is by section, but for this 90-day period, how about if we take all overtime lists from all the sections and create a TMS overtime list so that the overtime will still be going to overtime desireless personnel and there be no need for 40 additional casuals. I would have also reminded them that if you want to ask for 40 additional casuals over compliment, how about we sit down and have a compliment meeting and see how many people we should be converting? But again, the members would have been involved in that. Now you have a situation where currently if you're in Ohio City Gate and you work overtime, all your overtime should be in the section you work. Or let's not say all, let's say the greater percentage should be in the section to which you work. So for this 90-day period, all section overtimes would have been compiled into a list, and by rotation, we would have just worked our overtime list from other sections through a mutual agreement with the union and management for a 90-day period in TMS until the TMS situation is under control. Now, that's what I call bargaining in behalf of mail handlers. Now, what you currently have is you have a lower cost per work hour, which, again, is going to look real nice on management's bottom line salaries and benefits, but you did the craft injustice. That's just my take on it. Hey, have a nice day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. 180 degrees, new direction. That's going to be the voice of the mail handler in Local 304. Support Kenny Hodge for local president.